everyone, and welcome into a special episode of JB's Bible and Bourbon Talk. Today, we're going to sit down with our good friend Bob Little from Oak and Thieves, where they are creating a community for barrel enthusiasts through their barrel pick program. Spend some time sharing some stories and hearing about the passion for barrel picking that Bob and the rest of the crew has. We'll also talk about a great charity, Focus Plus Fragile of Atlanta. And as always, join us on jbbibleandbourbon.com/social. That's going to have all of our social media links for Facebook, for Instagram. It's going to have links to all of our podcatchers, which you have because you are here. We also encourage you to go subscribe, like, comment our YouTube channel. Helps our algorithm, helps us reach more people. You can also support us on Patreon. We have an apostle and a disciple level tiers. Those will get you monthly time with JB and I. Now, sit back, settle in, let's go. Cue the intro. Well, welcome back to JB's Bible and Bourbon Talk, where we talk about things that we are passionate about. Of course, we're passionate about Jesus and the truth of scriptures and digging into sermons. We're also passionate about good whiskey. And that's what we're going to be talking about today is whiskey. Yeah. I'm JB. I'm a pastor at a Reformed church in Ohio. And with me is my good friend and co-host, Fancy Rob.
Hello, everyone. So, yeah, welcome in. We got a little bit of a different... a little different feel today. We got the smoking lounge, which I'm very excited about.
We are Reformed. We're allowed to smoke. That's
exactly.
Is this first show y'all done smoking?
Because usually I record at my kitchen table, and my wife does not allow smoking in the house. Because if I try to record outside, I have big issues with my Wi-Fi. It is a little bit of a different episode today. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking to our good friend Bob Little about a project that he does called Oak and Thieves. But to start out today, we're actually going to walk through with Bob how to mix a very delicious and tasty beverage featuring a whiskey that I like to call Redneck Pappy, which is Crown Peach. Yeah, I know a lot of people, like, I'll be in a liquor store and I'll hear people come in and go, "Do you have any Crown Peach?" Because it used to be, "Hey, do you guys have any Pappy? You have any Pappy?" Mm-hmm. And now it's Crown Peach.
Y'all got that Crown Peach?
You're not wrong. I'm just glad you said we're talking about good whiskey, and the first whiskey we're talking about is Crown Peach. your reputation is like, wait a minute.
People like it, though.
It went down the tubes, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. All right, so how do we mix this, Bob?
All right, so you have to do this in a mason jar, okay?
I got a mason jar.
We got mason jars.
We are prepared.
All right, fill that mason jar about, three quarters with some ice.
All right.
Love the sound of this.
All right. And that's the fridge ice, as people call it.
Fridge ice. Uh-huh. I mean, it's Crown Peach. I'm going fridge ice.
Now, you got some peaches, right? Yeah. Now, these aren't your just normal, everyday canned peaches now. These are JB's Country Farm Fresh peaches.
Yeah.
All right.
And this is a fresh crack and a fresh batch, mind you.
Yeah.
Those, now, JB?
Yes.
How much money did I spend on peaches and cherries this year?
A lot. You kept me in business, buddy.
A reasonable amount. Let's say a reasonable
amount. Yeah, I appreciate it. I think I don't think it was necessarily you. It was your wife who probably insisted that you buy a bunch of these peaches and cherries. And so these are a labor of love. I love to make these local peaches in Ohio, if you'll believe it. But the peach orchard is outstanding. Brandstuhl peaches. And then I make a proprietary blend of a vanilla simple syrup. And my wife makes a homemade orange liqueur. And then also I mix in Weller Special Reserve. And it goes through a canning process. And they are delicious.
Sounds very scientific.
They're amazing.
A proprietary blend.
So what you're going to want to do. So what I normally do is I normally grab two peach slices. Throw it in there. And are you using a bar spoon or like a
he's got a bar spoon. So we're gonna need four peaches because we're making two drinks, right?
Yep.
Okay.
And in each glass, since it's a bar spoon, give me like two or three spoonfuls of that juice.
All right. Yeah, that juice is key.
If you're using like a normal, like in my house, we have like a cereal spoons.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Just one of those will do.
Now, what you say is a cereal spoon. A cereal spoon in my house is a serving spoon.
Yeah. I use the one cup ladle. Just tear into it.
All right. Crunch. Now you're going to need you two cherries.
Per drink?
Yep, okay. Per drink. Yep, two cherries. And just one bar spoon of the cherry juice will do.
Now, Bob, have you had both the sweet and the tart cherries, right?
Yes, I had both.
And yes. which do you prefer in this drink, out of curiosity, the sweet or the tart?
Probably the tart, because there's a lot of sugar going on in this drink.
Yeah, I hear you.
I think the tart just gives that little bit on the back end, you know. Because before we had your cherries, and there was a time when we ran out, we were using Luxardo cherries, and it gets a little it's syrupy, you know, diabetic. Yes,
yeah.
Please.
All right. Diabetes.
And how much redneck pappy?
So I want to say when Katie does it, she probably does it like a third of the way up.
All right. She knows how to party.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, you got some fruit in there already. You got the ice. You know, it's being replaced. And now you just top that bad boy off with some
ginger ale.
Mm-hmm. And if you like ginger, you can get the bold ginger ale. Katie likes the bold ginger ale. You know, if you like ginger beer and stuff like that.
We're going Verner's. Yeah.
We're going Verner's, which is a barrel-aged ginger ale.
It is a barrel-aged ginger ale.
Oh, nice. That's going to add a funk. I like that.
That is my favorite ginger ale, is Verner's ginger ale.
And then just take that bar spoon, stir it up.
Everybody cheers.
Yep. Cheers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all right.
Okay, that's good.
Okay. Here's the deal. Yeah. I have never bought a bottle of Crown Peach.
And my first bottle was in preparation for this very episode.
And now I'm going to have to buy a bottle of Crown Peach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bought a whole case. And if y'all don't know this, 12 bottles come in a case.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a whole case of Crown Peach. And just like I bought a whole lot of peaches and cherries to keep my wife happy, because this is her summertime in the wintertime when she misses summertime.
Right?
It's a good drink.
It is tasty. So I have to say, when I was in... North Carolina is, of course, an ABC state, for better, for worse, generally for worse. So I went into the ABC store. They did have Crown Peach. I wasn't that excited, Bob, about buying Crown Peach. I mean, I'm going to buy another bottle now.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I said, does this come any smaller? They were like, no, it won't go bad. I'm like, no, because it starts out that way. And then they were not amused by my...
This is delicious. This has changed my mind on buying Crown Peach.
It has.
And thank Katie, the creator. Does she have a special name for it or anything? Or is this just Katie's drink?
This is Katie's drink. Mm-hmm. Katie drank.
You gotta get the drink in there.
Like I said, you gotta do it in a mason jar. It's not the same.
Oh, that's the only way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I gotta say, it pairs... It pairs really well with what we're smoking. So, Bob, if you'll share with what we're smoking, too.
Now, because this is a Bible podcast, I wanted to make sure we brought to you the Cult.
Right.
Cult. Blood Red Moon Pipe Tobacco.
Yeah.
By our friends over at, well, I guess Cult.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if Cult had another big brand name or not. But, we're drinking Cult. We're having Cult Pipe Tobacco.
It's good.
It's delightful. And I got my Cult Pipe Tobacco from Bob at Whiskey Weekend 4.
Mm-hmm.
And it's delicious.
Yeah. See, I bought a can of this. I remember I just happened to be in the store and looked up some reviews on Cult Pipe Tobacco, because they had like a little display, and Blood Red Moon stood out. So I bought a can. And like most things in life, you go back to go get another one and it's gone.
Right. Yeah.
Mm. So then you go online, it's gone everywhere.
Oh.
Mm. And it's like, well, is it discontinued? I can't find anywhere that's discontinued, but I can't find anywhere that has it either. And it was like Pipe and Tobacco, you know, one of those online places. Yeah. Got it in stock. So I bought six.
Yeah, like, yeah, right.
Yeah, you do.
You know what? These things aren't that bad. It's like, what, $5.85 or $6 a 10?
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah. You know, and it's not going to, as long as you keep it sealed, it ain't going to go bad.
Yeah. So the moral of the story is, when Bob likes something, he just buys a case of it.
Yeah. I mean, we buy party size anytime we can.
Buy handles. So
anytime you can get volumes of stuff, we are on board with that.
This bottle is going to be gone this during your visit.
Yeah, I have a feeling.
Your wife's going to enjoy this.
I think my wife will really like this. It's kind of a different format today on our podcast. So the reason is our friend Bob is a part of what's called Oaken Thieves. And Bob, if you would explain to us what Oaken Thieves is and what you guys kind of do.
I'll build on that. Yeah. So my daughter is 11 going on 12. And I started drinking whiskey a little bit before she was born. And at the time, my budget allowed me about one bottle a month. That's what I could afford. Now, things were different back then. You know, I remember walking into a store and they had, you know, OWA and they had just gotten a barrel in. And, you know, I put one in my cart and he's like, "You only want one?" And I'm like, it was, you know, $22.99. And he's like, "Okay." And it, you know, you go back still the next month and it's still there. You know, there was nobody standing in line.
No.
And it's the old, you know, squat bottles too, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, like you said, it was a lot cheaper back then. Mm-hmm. Now it's, what, $49.99 MSRP?
If they sell it to you at that, they're probably going to sell it to you for $100 or $110.
Well, luckily, the one good thing about Ohio, it is a control state, so they have to sell it MSRP. So anytime I get to buy it in Ohio, it's $49.99.
Nice. So, you know, I've been buying whiskey for a while, and we kind of talked about this in the last show. Mm-hmm. A lot of MGP products sat on the shelf and really weren't that expensive. And you start drinking them, you're like, "Man, this stuff is good." Mm-hmm. And, you know, people try to say, well, you know, this is the same as that. And you're like, not really. Because you can taste the similarities when you drink them, but I taste similarities between Weller Special Reserve and Weller OWA, but they ain't the same.
Right.
But there would be times where I would spend my monthly budget and buy that bottle and they'd be like, "Man, this isn't very good." I could have bought my go-to, like every day, just if I had to, is Maker's 46. Like I'd be just fine just drinking on Maker's 46. Like, man, I could have just bought a bottle of Maker's 46 and I went on a limb and bought this and this isn't good. This is now a mixer, you know. It's not even good enough to go in what we're drinking right now.
Yeah,
and that problem I feel in the whiskey business has continued to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
And more and more now, you've got stuff sitting on the shelf for $60, $70, $80, and you know what? It's got a great package. It's got a great label. It's got a great marketing story.
Yeah,
you know. And you dive into it and you're like, "Man, this tastes like Dickel," because it might very well be Dickel.
Right.
And I'm not a Dickel fan. Sorry, Griffins. But it's just not me. So we kind of, James and I used to record a podcast called BS and Bourbon. And we still have, you know, the show. We just haven't recorded in a while. Like, we started picking with a local store because, like, we wanted to drink good whiskey and be able to tell people, like, "Hey, if you walk into the store and you see our logo on the bottle, it's because we helped pick it and it was good enough to put our name on it." Like, we wanted it to be, and I'm gonna make fun of James too, you know. James Seeks Bottled and Bond is a non-necessity, but you know, bottled and bond means something on a bottle. We wanted our logo on the bottle to mean something, like, "Hey, we picked this. So you're not wasting your money."
Amen.
If you like what we like, I mean, everybody has taste. And, you know, when I first got in this game, the trick was back then that there wasn't as many bourbon podcasts. There weren't as many bourbon websites back then. But you found a place, you read their reviews, and maybe you went on a limb and bought some things they liked. And if you started matching it with what they liked, then you knew you could kind of trust it. If they didn't really like something, you probably weren't going to like it.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, "Hey, if you start buying our picks, you like our picks, then you kind of start agreeing with our palates." You know, James likes the more fruitier stuff. I like things with not spicy. We don't like big, heavy oak spicy things. That's not our palate range. And you'll taste that here in a minute. But when James and I can come together and say, this is it, then you know it's going to have that right, sweet, spicy. And one thing James and I do agree on big time is finish. If something does not have a long, good finish, we're probably not picking it. Yeah. Same thing with nose. We have smelled things and be like, "Nope, Nope. And you go to taste it, and it's not bad. It's also not, you know, fabulous, because if it didn't have a good nose, then how could it be fabulous?
Yeah.
And we push things away because of the nose. And people said, well, you don't drink bourbon with your nose. And I'm like, yeah, you don't eat with your nose either.
Right. Right. You do.
But if somebody puts something on your plate, yeah, and it doesn't smell good,
yeah,
you're not looking to dive into it either. And it's the same, yeah, thing with bourbon. If big you got to put up to your glass, yeah, and it doesn't smell good, you know, as we kind of progress with that, we found out that people really like some things that he and I were picking, you know, really started reaching out to us a lot for guidance, advice, and, you know, like, hey, I mean, I live in Washington State, like, how can I, or Texas, how, you know, like, we keep hearing about your picks, and, you know, so-and-so sent us some samples, like, I want some of this.
Hmm.
And so we decided we it was kind of organically that Grease and Will, we kind of started talking and said, you know, we can make this a reality. You know, James and I,
yeah,
are good at picking barrels. Will and Grease have a really good business sense. And we teamed up, and not saying they have bad palates, but, you know, they have several businesses and things like that. And they're very good business savvy people. And know how to market and things like that, things that James and I are learning a lot about. And so, hey, we can come together and start building relationships, use the bourbon relations we have, and start picking barrels. Formally launched March 1st. We've had 5 releases so far. And, you know, we have turned away barrel picks because the samples we were sent just weren't there.
Right.
You know, and it's, we go back, and the first thing, you know, we have a talk with, like, hey, we kind of like this one. It's not ready yet. We'll put a deposit down and hold that barrel and let it age till when it's ready, if y'all are willing to do that.
Right.
You know, and a lot of times right now it's, well, we're selling stuff the best we can. We're just going to pass it on to the,
right.
Okay. I'm sure it'll be quality for somebody else, but really it's not up there for us right now. And, you know, I want, if someone's going to spend 80, 90, 100 bucks with shipping, you know, because shipping ain't cheap.
No, it is not.
I want them to put something on their shelf that they're going to be like, yup, this was good. Yeah. You know, it may not be, you know, the big Weller name. We've had some top tier releases, but not every release is going to be that. But people to say, hey, you probably heard of this. You may have had one or two of these, but you haven't had this.
Right.
And that's really kind of what we go for. We try to find the brands that are maybe not as well known and pick through what they got and hit, try to find the bangers. We have a retail store and distribution partner in California. We also have one in New York, because California, New York, can ship to almost all 50 states.
Yeah.
So, you know, and we're continuing to build on that, and we're looking to expand into other, you know, retail and distribution partners, because some places that have offered us barrels don't have distribution in those areas yet.
Yeah.
And they have a product that we like and that we've earmarked, and it's just, we have to get, either they are going to work on the distribution rights to get work. We are, or we're going to work to get a retail distribution partner where they are.
Yeah.
Because, you know, America has a 3-tier system, and we have to adhere to that.
I think what's really special about what you guys do, right? A few things, but like you said, you're selective. You're not just saying, okay, this is a pick, let's get it out and let's turn profit, right? You're saying, this is a good pick for our community of people that we've invested heavily into, that trust us. The barrel pick program, it's not like other barrel pick programs where you have to buy X number of bottles each year, because people have lives, right? And it may not be the time or the season in their life that they can drop $300 on a couple of different, you know, barrel picks. So I really like that aspect. And you guys have great palates and pick really unique and delicious whiskeys.
What I really like, Bob, is something you had said, is if it's not good enough, we're not going to put our name on it.
Right.
That is, you know, I worked in food service for 26 years, and I was, you know, as a chef, every dish that went out was my signature. My signature was on that dish. And so if it did not meet my quality, my standards,
yeah,
I didn't want to put it. I would not put it out. And I love that you guys do that with your whiskey, because like you said, I can go out to eat and I'm okay with paying $50-$75 for a plate, as long as it's a quality product. And that's what you guys are doing. It's a seal of approval that you guys are giving to these whiskeys, that people can go, okay, I know that this is an Oak and Thieves barrel. I know that it's going to be a certain quality. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, we don't have to, because for example, a lot of stores feel compelled by distributors and reps that when they get sent samples, they got to take something.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
You know, because they deal with these people every week, you know, this is their livelihood, you know? And not only that, but sometimes they're, well, if you take this barrel, or if you take two of these, then, you know, we might be able to down the road get you something a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And stores feel really pressured. I mean, real pressure to play the game. We don't have to play the game.
Right.
You know, so we don't have to take two barrel aged gins to get something else down the road and then try to, you know, mark some barrel aged gin that, you know, we're not going to keep in our house.
Right.
You know,
and yeah, I like, so it's going to be something that you want to share with someone
because it's something you're proud of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I make something good to eat, I love to share it with people. And it's the same thing where you're picking out these whiskeys that are a good quality. They're a good value. Yes, you might have to spend $75 or whatever, but you know, because it's hard to drop $75 on a bottle without knowing. But if I can see a seal of approval, essentially, from somebody I know and trust, then I'm more likely to spend the $75 on a bottle. Where if it's just some random bottle in a liquor store, I wouldn't be.
Yeah, who isn't just putting out 8 barrel picks because they have to?
Right.
But they do it all the time. Like, people go in absolutely. And drop $75 to $100 in a store all the time and take a gamble. And sometimes they do well. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you get home and you're just like, man, what was I, you know, kind of the way, you know, we talked about shipping being expensive. Well, you know what else ain't cheap anymore? It's gas.
Right.
Yeah, no kidding.
And I remember, I mean, here even recently, a store near me, you know, dropped a Four Roses. And it's like, so do I really want to, A, stop what I'm doing, drive 45 minutes, and then go wait in line for, you know, get there an hour, 2 hours before they open?
Right.
You know, if it's on a Saturday, great. If not, I might, you know, take a PTO from work for bourbon.
Right.
You know, so the other thing that we want to make sure we do, and we've been very honest with our, we're a Patreon, we're a tiered system in Patreon.
Right.
And which is a little bit different than other groups, because some other groups don't have the tiers. It's a flat rate and it's first come, first serve. You know, whenever it launches, you know, I hope you log in and get it, because if you don't, we are not that way. We want to make sure that every tier has an opportunity to purchase the barrel and what's available. And we work our way down the tiers. And when it comes to a point where we don't have enough to satisfy the entire tier, it goes to a lottery system. We tell people, hey, listen, there's no Google forms you got to worry about filling out or making sure you get it on time. But hey, you know, we gave the other tiers the opportunity to purchase. Now we're going to go to a lottery system. We're up front, like, there's this many people in the tier. We have this many bottles remaining. And here's the lottery. You people, and, you know, we reach out to people individually. And we reach out, you know, Facebook, Patreon, and really, you know, try to be as fair as we absolutely can to our members to get these picks. Unfortunately, some picks don't yield as many as others. But our hope is that as we continue to move on, we have picks, and it's, hey, listen, picks are in. Go get them.
We all love good whiskey, right? Mm-hmm. We all love the fellowship that comes along with that good whiskey. And I know that there's more to this than just whiskey. There's a charity behind this, Bob. So what is, you know, what's the story with that?
Oh, well, we did do Pour One for George.
Yeah.
So the Four Roses, yes. Last year it was an NBC pick. This year it was a Four Roses pick.
And my boy, George, my little one, my 2-year-old, mm-hmm. Was born with a genetic condition called campomelic dysplasia. Mm-hmm. And the charity that we do is not for me and it's not for my family. It is for Focus Plus Fragile Kids here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And what this group does is George spent 50 days in the NICU.
Yep. Yep.
And if you've never had to go through that, you cannot appreciate the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're dealing with lots of doctors, you're dealing with lots of specialists.
Absolutely. Yep.
They tell you that your son's going, you know, it's Monday, tell your son's going home on Thursday. Thursday rolls around, another specialist came to see your mm-hmm. child. You're not going home because they found something else, mm-hmm. or they need to test for something else, or they need to do another MRI, or they need to yep. do another X-ray. You're going through this and you start getting anxious, apprehensive. Mm-hmm. When I get home, what are the next steps? Like what mm-hmm. what's available for me? And so what Focus Plus Fragile does is they go into the NICU and they meet with parents.
Yeah.
And they sit down and they say, okay, these are the services available for your child. And yeah. here are the processes to go through and apply for those benefits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they sat down and connected us with people to help us get, you know, George sees 4 therapists a week.
Yeah.
He has a team of doctors, but mm-hmm. you don't know how to make all those connections.
Right.
You know, they don't, there's no, so they do that. And then around the Atlanta area, they offer workshops around Atlanta. There's one in North Atlanta, South Atlanta, East, West, yeah. in Atlanta, for continuing education for parents, because a lot of times these programs you apply for, they expire and you have to reapply. And there's a different process for reapplication than there was for initial application. Mm-hmm. It's different paperwork, different forms, different, you know, and it's, and, you know, you know, you make fun of the DMV, right? And it's like, no, you're supposed to have form E. You know, you right. brought form D. So you have to go right. to that line over there, get the form yeah. and go stay in line again. And when it's in your child and you're waiting on special services for your child, it's months.
Oh, yeah.
And doing the wrong form or having the wrong date on a form or the wrong signature on a form, they will deny you that easy and that quick. Mm-hmm. Or because it's not in the right yeah. order.
Exactly.
And they help you navigate that. And so they were really kind of important to me in getting George home and when George was home because of the things that needed to happen.
Yeah.
And then during the summertime, they have special camps for, they host camps for children with disabilities. They host prom and homecoming for children with disabilities, a special gala. You know, they do like specialized wheelchairs. They have a grant program for specialized wheelchairs. So they do a lot for families and children with disabilities. Yeah. And they help push me in the right direction. So this is like my way of giving back, you know.
And Bob, I don't think we've actually talked about this. So my son was born 3 months early, spent 3 months in the NICU, had, you know, a lot of issues. And, you know, this was, you know, well, he's 13 now, so this is 13 plus years ago, almost 14 years ago. And what you're talking about is exactly the hardest part, right? Is you don't know. Thankfully, my wife was incredibly vigilant, but you don't necessarily know all the programs and all the people that you need to talk to and all the intervention specialists you need to go to and all of the things that are available to you, because it varies by, at least when I was in Ohio, it varied by county, it varied by city, it varied by, you know, what system you were in. So being able to offer that service is an incredible blessing. I mean, we were very, pardon me, very lucky that I worked from home at the time. So I was able to, you know, we were able to take shifts at the hospital with Elias and able to spend every waking hour that they let us be in the hospital with him. But not all parents have that. Not all parents have the resources and not all parents have the ability to understand what all the paperwork is, and being able to offer that is really the difference between a child flourishing to the best of, you know, to use the best of what they're given, versus floundering because the parents just don't have the information. Mm-hmm. So it's an incredibly important important charity that you guys are working with. So
mm-hmm. you know, George will constantly have struggles. It's a genetic condition, mm-hmm. and
mm-hmm.
you know, he's happy, he's growing, and
yeah.
you know, we rock and roll with little man. So, but you know, having them there as a resource, because I know as a parent with child with disabilities, mm-hmm. his third birthday's coming up, and mm-hmm. The U.S. government, there's a lot of things that change when a child turns three.
Yep, at three. Yep, mm-hmm. It's a big milestone for them. Yep.
Yes, and so we're approaching that, and so we're already talking and saying, you know, and now it transitions from a lot of state assisted care to county specific care.
Yep.
In Georgia, at the 3 year mark. So we're getting ready for that. And some mm-hmm. discussions we've had, I'll be very honest, have made me very apprehensive and nervous. Mm. Apprehensive, right? That's right.
Yeah,
right.
Apprehensive.
Apprehensive. Yeah.
Apprehensive. There, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And there's the word.
You know, and so, but having some, and the organization made up of parents of children with disabilities.
Yeah.
So having other parents there who have been through it and tackled the obstacle, it's very helpful to know that somebody else has done what needed to be done and were successful. Yeah.
Because it's daunting because you're there taking care of your child as best you can, and you don't know all the hoops that you have to jump through.
No, you don't. But, you know, we get to celebrate that through mm-hmm. bourbon. And before we were doing the charity I think it was Whiskey Weekend Batch 2, because George spent 50 days in the NICU, I took a bottle of the Al Young 50th anniversary. We cracked it open and drank it, you know?
Yeah. That was at the tasting, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I remember that. I felt very I was in the wrong tasting because there were so many big names at the tasting. Like, I know you were there, and Josh Steele was there from Buffalo mm-hmm. Trace, and you know, and then Dixon Dedman was there, and so many. But that share with that bottle was so beautiful at Whiskey Weekend Batch 2. It was, I mean, it made me a little misty eyed.
But that's what bourbon's about, man. Crack it open, share it. Yep, you know,
exactly.
It's a great bottle in and of itself, but when you're celebrating somebody's 50th year with the company, and we're relating that to George's, he spent exactly 50 days in the NICU. That's what bourbon's all about, man. Just sharing it and just celebrating the moment, you know, because, you know, we talk about God's blessings and all that stuff. You know, George came home February of 2020.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What happened the next month?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We got blasted mm-hmm. with COVID. Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a blessing that he was home.
Exactly. Because when COVID first hit, they shut down the NICU.
Yeah.
You could not go visit your own child in the NICU.
Yep. I would break doors down.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, the way my wife did not miss a day.
Yeah, not a single day.
She would get up and leave every morning at 5 a.m. and drive down to the hospital. I would take the kiddos to school because mm-hmm. I have two others. And then I would go to work.
Yep.
And then she would leave the NICU around 2 o'clock, go pick the kiddos up from school.
Yep.
I would work till around 6 or 7 because Atlanta traffic's terrible.
Right.
You know, and, you know, they didn't build the children's hospital just down the road from my house. It's in Atlanta. And, you know, I'd get off work and then I'd go to the NICU and hang out there till 8 o'clock ish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was kind of our routine. And like I said, not everybody got to do that. But I agree. We did.
Yeah.
But, you know,
well, it's to your point, you guys were blessed and fortunate enough to be able to do that. We were as well. We were able to, you know, to be there almost every waking hour that hospital was open, but there were so many parents that couldn't, and so many parents who didn't have the resources and the knowledge and the ability to, you know, they were doing everything they could for their kids, but you know, what the charity does and the work that you're doing through the Barrel program to, you know, help facilitate that gives them, you know, that opportunity that they wouldn't otherwise have.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, down there, there's the Ronald McDonald House for people who are traveling great distances. You can stay in the Ronald McDonald House to get over to the Children's Hospital from there. So, you know, there's a lot of great resources. And, you know, we're just thankful and blessed. And George got to come home and, you know, because, I mean, really, and you probably experienced this too, you get to a point where you start saying, all right, now, y'all told us a few times George is going home. It didn't happen. Or something is happens. He going home?
Yeah.
Is this y'all just pulling my leg? Like, is he coming home? And then
it's a whole nother world of things to deal with that you don't expect to have to deal with when they come home. And now you don't have the hospital to lean on.
Oh, right? Yeah. Well, in Atlanta, you have a child in the NICU. You know, you have to go to the first aid class. Everybody has to get first aid certified. Mm-hmm. And then they make you do this thing where each parent has to spend, it's either 8 or 12 hours of uninterrupted time one-on-one with the child before you bring them home. So like, you know, he's still tube fed. So, you know, you have to do the tube feedings. You have to change the diapers. You have to do all the things. You have to put the heart rate breathing monitor on them, you know, and, you know, the nurses have to sign off on it before you get home. So, they do a really good job of making sure that you are 100% prepared to come home. Yeah. So that way, when you do come home, at least for what you can control,
right?
You can. And, you know, I was talking with some other people, and you know how parents spend all that money on them little owlet socks and the angel mat, you know, that you know, people spend a lot of money on that stuff. But we got to come home with the real deal. Like this thing was 1980s IBM computer style, baby. I mean, it was a big old honking computer, and it had the strap that went around his chest and monitored his heart rate and breathing. He had to wear it. When we first came home, he had to wear it 24/7, but then it transitioned to have to wear it at night. I'm going to tell you, nothing wakes you up. It's like when that thing goes off, when that sucker goes off, you know, because, you know, if that sucker just moves a little bit down on it, you know, they got a baby.
Yeah, it's going off.
Worms. It's going off because it can't detect the heart rate or breathing right. And, whoo,
nothing gets you out faster.
People tell us all the time, you know, I don't know, like, I couldn't do it. And I'm like, you could if it was your child.
Yeah.
You couldn't do it with George. He's not yours.
But yeah, you couldn't until you have to. And then you can.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, trust me. You're equipped with what you need to do to get through that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
We approached this when we found out that George was going to be born with disabilities. Mm-hmm. You know, we did our research. But from day one, we approached this like reading a book.
Yeah,
you know, you can skip to and read the last chapter of the book. And the geneticist would like to do that. But we take this one page at a time. We take it one developmental step at a time. We take it one doctor's appointment, one MRI at a time.
And you have to.
And okay, well, what's next? Okay, we check that box. What's next? Because if you try to do that if then scenario, especially with your own child, it's one thing to do it, you know, hypothetically, but with your own child, it will drive you nuts. So to be able just to take it one page at a time and really just appreciate the moment, perfect.
And so you mentioned you guys are Patreon driven as far as the Oak and Thieves program. Tell us a little bit about your Patreon program. What are the tiers and what do those benefits get? And you can let people know how they can get involved as well.
So the best way, if you go to oakandthieves.com, that's oakandthieves.com. I'll say that because it's not ampersand, .com. That'll take you directly to the Patreon page. Our top tier is currently sold out. That's $150 a month. And we have some very special things planned for people in that tier. They're guaranteed to go on a barrel pick at least once a year. They are guaranteed to do some other special events that are currently in the works. They get guaranteed invitations. They're guaranteed at least two bottles of every pick, no matter how allocated the pick. And then we have a $50 tier, a $25 tier, and a $15 tier. And we work our way that way. So, you know, it's been, I love the reception from the Patreon members and the community in general. It's been extremely positive. Not saying we haven't had any hiccups, you know, we've kind of learned a lot as we continue through this journey since March 1st. You know, you think you kind of have all your ducks in a row because we didn't just start working on this February 28th, you know,
right.
you know, you think you have all your ducks in a row and just, there's always something or some things that come up and you To me, in running a business, I think the more open and honest you are with who you're working with and, you know, who you're working for, you know, we're working for our Patreons.
Right.
I think the better, and that's kind of been my thing, is that we want to be upfront, honest, and as fair as possible. You know, we don't want to be a first come, first serve. We love being able to hang out with people. We do monthly meetings with our with the tiers, and really just it's kind of like this. We just have an opportunity where we all get together, we hang out, we talk and talk about things, and you know, it usually ends up we always schedule an hour. And that's kind of the main focus. But after the hour, man, we just keep rocking and rolling, whatever people talk about.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a community of like-minded people. And, you know, we can talk about things that we have coming out. Oh, is George coming to tell me goodnight? Y'all might even get a chance to see George.
Tell Daddy to say goodnight, Daddy.
There he is.
Tell Daddy goodnight.
George. He's such a sweetie.
Night-night.
He's ready for bed.
Oh, yeah.
So getting back to Oak and Thieves, one of the picks that kind of put BS and Bourbon on the map was that, Russell's Man 1.
Mm-hmm. Is that what we got, Rob?
That is what we got.
You got one of them. And this was distilled on 11-21-11 and dumped on 9-3-20. And this comes out of Warehouse G. And I'm going to tell you, I've had some other Warehouse Gs. There's something special going on in Warehouse G. I don't know if y'all have y'all ever had Old Wild Turkey.
I have. At Whiskey Weekend Batch 2, I did.
And so, you know, Old Wild Turkey's got a little different taste to it than current Wild Turkey. And you know, I don't know if y'all have heard, you know, Jimmy and Eddie are trying, you know, they've actually, you know, because, I mean, they'll tell you Cheesy Gold Foil is one of the best things ever put on the shelf. They're trying to get back to putting a product, and actually that Russell Reserve 13 that's super allocated and I don't even have a bottle of is probably the closest thing. Now I'm gonna tell you, diving into this, this is the next closest thing coming out of Warehouse G right here.
Well, I remember at Whiskey Weekend Batch 4 you had me bottle chug from the Russell's Russell Man bottle. That was something special.
Oh, that's good.
You know, it's funny because, you know, they tasted this up on stage and it didn't stack up well next to the other things. And James and I were a little frustrated by that. But when I got on stage and got the tri-rails offerings, like, okay, this makes sense. Everybody went for the big, bold flavors of like Stag Junior and, you know, the other things. I think it was a Knob Creek up there, like those bigger, bolder, stronger flavors. And this isn't that. This is that older Wild Turkey, the softer, you know, just more like well-rounded. Like,
that's good.
That nose just
sings to you, doesn't it?
I love. I mean, the palate's great, but the note, like, I could sit here and nose this. Like, I'll probably smell this glass a couple of times once it's out of the glass. It is delicious. But
you know, men spend a lot of money trying to find the right, you know, cologne. Why can't they just put this in a bottle?
I'll give it a couple of spritz.
You know, this is, you know, it doesn't have that like funky, like it's got a little bit of little hint, but you know, it's just that like that mellower, fruity, fruitier, not super fruity like Four Roses, but you know, it's just, man,
it's tasty.
I think my wife would like this one.
Yeah.
Not saying that it's feminine, but
not saving it for either. But it's
smooth, well rounded.
Yeah,
man, it's got a great hug as it goes down, but it doesn't burn. You know, it's just got that good.
You feel warmth. You feel good.
Yeah,
it's like a nice blanket. You know,
in a tasting competition, it's not going to stand up well. This to me would be, if you were doing a tasting, should probably be one of the first things you drink. Because it's not that big, bold, spicy, punch you in the mouth. But man, it's
a good drink though.
No, that nose.
Yeah.
I keep going back to the nose on it. And, you know, for me as a, you know, as a former chef, you know, people say you don't taste with your nose, but you do.
You do.
You know, and for me, part of the, you know, the eating experience and the drinking experience is that nose. And
absolutely.
This, I love whiskeys that I can drink, but also sit there and nose as I'm drinking it, and this is one of those
that, right there.
Yeah, because it doesn't burn like you.
No,
this,
right,
this,
not
this
at
is
all.
Like 100. This is 110 proof.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean it's right there with your Whiskey Weekend blend. It's right there with the Chattanooga 111. It's right there with the Chattanooga Cask Strength. Mm-hmm. And all those, like, you can still feel it on the nose.
You can tell it's high proof. Yeah.
This right here, you can throw your nose into and get all of those wonderful, light, caramelly.
Yeah.
You know, like, I get a lot of, like, stone fruit, you know, very stone fruit on the nose. You can just dive right into it. And there's no, like, big alcohol burn to make you,
no. Yeah. Mm.
No, the nose on that is delicious.
Mm.
Well, thank you for sharing that one with us.
I know it's coming.
The finish just hangs.
It just sits there in your mouth.
Mm-hmm. You know, you can sit here 5 minutes later and you're like, man, I still feel that hug.
It'll taste a little bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sticks with you.
It's a little dry. It's not super oily. It's a little dry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is one you did previous to Oak and Thieves. Is that correct? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I said, this is what put BS and Bourbon on the map for pitching.
Right. I remember the hype surrounding Russell's Man. I saw a lot of people in your Facebook group posting about it. And and then I finally got to taste it the last Whiskey Weekend. And I
had to chug it.
I got to taste what the hype was all about. And it's worth the hype.
It's delicious.
Yeah, this is a good, you know, sit out by the campfire, sit inside, watch it. Netflix, and you know, just enjoy. It's one of the joys of life is enjoying something that is really, you know, something. It's not
really
complex,
well balanced,
but it's very well balanced and delicious.
I'm gonna tell you the long. You know, this has been what y'all are trying has been open a little bit, so it's had a chance to breathe. But like fresh cracked, as those like flavors kind of merge and evolve, it's just something great that you put in your glass and you put it up in there so it lasts, you know, like 30-45 minutes. Just as that continues to open up, the flavors change a little bit. It's just so pleasant.
Yeah. Now I know it almost sounds sacrilegious, but have you mixed it with anything, or is this one you just only do straight?
Mm-hmm.
Now, because we love sequels, we're going to Russell's Man 2.
So Russell's Man 2 is Oak and Thieves. Right?
That is correct. Yep. Russell's Man 2 is Oak and Thieves.
And so,
again,
again,
it's 110 proof, like all Russell Reserve.
Right.
This is distilled on 11/13/09 and dumped on 11/14/20. And this comes out of Warehouse F.
Warehouse F. And so, as you were with Oak and Thieves, so how many people did you have on this pick? And tell me about the experience of that.
Yeah.
In comparison to, like, when you went to this and you said, okay, we're going to name this Russell's Man 2. So what was the inspiration to the flavor of Russell's Man 1 to Russell's Man 2 to say?
I'm going to let you answer that when you taste it.
Okay.
Now, Russell's, I don't even think, because of COVID, they have shut down the in-person picks.
Okay.
So this was just picked by myself, James, Will, and Grease.
Okay.
More and more places are starting to open up. And that is my one thing that I cannot wait to go on is to go to the Rick House with Jimmy and Eddie Russell and go drill some barrels.
Okay, so I will say this again, the nose.
It's so good.
I love to nose whiskey just from a chef standpoint. Like when I pick out a nosing characteristic, I'll sit there and think about dishes that I've made or things that I've experienced as I've made things. And to sit here and nose this is very reminiscent of that.
It is very similar.
That Russell's WrestleMan one.
It's similar, especially in the. It's not hot. It smells. You can really get in there and enjoy it.
Now I'm. Have y'all had a lot of Russell Reserve? Like, is that something that y'all?
Fair amount. I've had a couple Russell of Reserve, picks. Yeah. You know, Russell's 10 is one that I enjoy. So we've had a couple of, like, I don't think I've ever had a bad Russell's pick, but I haven't had a ton of Russell's picks.
Well, to me, one of the characteristics of a typical Russell's pick, I get a lot of cinnamon off of a typical Russell's. Russell's man, there's no cinnamon.
I was going to say, I don't smell any cinnamon on this.
No, no. So when you talk about.
It's very sweet on the nose.
Uh-huh. Yep.
You know, I almost get a honey characteristic, caramelly.
Yeah.
Almost slightly floral. Like you think about.
Yeah. I don't get the graham that I normally get out of Russell's.
Mm.
So that there was no guarantee that the next pick was going to be Russell's man too.
Right.
You know, it was, you got to let the bourbon, you know, where we're going with.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And man, when we just start smelling it, it's like this is it right in our wheelhouse. Like this.
Yeah.
This is what we want to be smelling. And when you dive into it, it's, you know, I'm biased, but I actually like this one better.
This one's really good. It tastes slightly hotter on the palate to me,
yeah,
but not in an offensive way. I do like higher proof bourbons and, you know, a little bit of heat to it. It tastes slightly hotter, but not, like I said,
not a lot.
Not terribly.
No.
The nose is almost spot on
to
Russell's Man 1.
And to me, the taste is a little bit spicier. It's got a little more spice, a little more body to it.
Yeah.
And that finish is like that baking spice finish, just lingers on your tongue. So yeah.
That finish lingers.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. It sticks around, it hugs you.
Let you know it's there.
So, you know, I thought this was a good representation. You know, if we're going to push the Russell's Man name, I think this is the right pick for it.
Not every
Russell's pick would have been that. And because there are some more cinnamony ones. There's some hotter ones. And, you know, if that would have been the best barrel of the day, we would have still picked it. It would have been something called something different.
Yeah.
But this one just happened to line up, you know.
No, I agree that this is a fantastic representation of that name.
Mm.
So what was the inspiration for the name Russell's Man? And then.
So. If you know Gage, Gage can't take shit if he ain't got a dip in his mouth. The true story, he can't.
Yeah,
he's got to have pinch cup hanging in to taste anything. Well, so does Jimmy Russell.
Oh,
interesting.
When you go when you go pick with Jimmy, he's got either a pinch of dip or a piece of chewing.
Okay,
and that's where the inspiration came from. Is that both James and Jimmy chew and dip, and that's why it's the we went, you know, Red Man. It's a modification of the Red Man label.
Yeah.
And, you know, they even showed it to Jimmy for putting it on the cigar. Like, hey, he's like, dude, I love it. Perfect.
That's awesome.
You know,
I've met Jimmy once. He's a pretty, he's an interesting guy, you know? Just
so, you know, it's pretty cool. And, you know, and then that's where it comes from, you know, James starts tasting something, and I'm like, James, what are you talking about, man? James, go put a dip in, because you're not even making sense, man. Just like get that dip in, let it sink in for a minute, then get back to tasting, because you're not on point today.
Yeah. So I'm incredibly happy you shared this with us. I'm also incredibly sad that it's gone now.
Well, I've got
I'm gonna take that. So
what are some of the picks that you got you are excited about?
Yeah.
Coming up with Oak and Thieves, what are some that you've done so far that you're excited about? Speak to some of those.
So, you know, obviously the pour one for George Four Roses that we launched was something special. Alongside of that was a Starlight pick that we did. That is just one of the best Starlights, I think, to roll out of their warehouse. We just released our two new picks, a straight bourbon and a double barrel rye. And I'll be honest with you. I was not wild about going to Nulu because I'd had some Nulu picks and I was not quite crazy about it.
Okay.
You know, we get there and they had just had a truck delivered that morning of barrels. Mm. So we got to taste through a fresh truck. Like this isn't like something that three or four other groups had picked through and taken the top three and four barrels off that truck.
Right.
We got to take the best barrel off that truck.
Nice.
You know, because it was ready for us, which was great. And then the double rye, you want to talk about a product that is just super complex. And you got to sit down and soak that sucker in that double rye. It's got so much complexity. and so much going on, because what they do, you know, they take the rye and they don't dump it into a used barrel for the second barrel. They dump it into a brand new barrel where the staves are CNC milled. And so like the, it doesn't, it's not normal. And man, there's just so much going on with that rye. It's just super complex. It has, if I remember right, a slight hint of mint. You'll find that James and I, when we pick ryes, we go for more of a candy rye. We don't grab a mint. But this one, it's just a little bit there on the back end. Because you know, there are some people who love minty ryes. So I'll put it out there for people. If you love mint, but if you're not the biggest fan of mint, because again, me and James are not, it's not enough there to put you off. There's so many other flavors going on there. Some other things we got in the works. There's something that I have in the works that I can't talk about yet that I've hinted and alluded to, and people all want to know. Just know that I'm one of those, like, I'll say I got something in the works, but until I got like a bottle in hand and a purchase order like written up, things happen. And I, you know, but I got something pretty cool in the works that's going to be dropping. I'm hoping by the end of June. The things I can talk about, we have the ASW Red X that is currently wrapping up its aging process at American Spirit Works in Atlanta. Red X is a single malt whiskey.
Okay.
And it's made with a German malt. And nobody else is doing this because it is a very low yield grain, which means they have to use a lot more of the grain to get the same amount of distillate that they could with another grain. So it's a very expensive product to produce. But I'm going to tell you, it is the fruitiest of fruity Four Roses I've ever had.
Okay.
Nice. Yes. And what we're doing right now is we have some staves in there with it. We're doing a stave finish because we're trying to get a little more caramel and vanilla to round out the fruitiness. Should be, I think we're going back in July to go taste it again. We've been tasting it as it's been aging and progressing since it's actually something James and I have been working on for quite a while. And when it kind of reached the right fruity stage, we decided we're going to add we're not adding colors. We're not adding flavors. We're not doing any of that. It's just blocks of charred Georgia heartwood. You got to be real careful because not everybody's doing what we're talking about.
Right.
It's kind of like the Maker's 46 process. You know, we're not adding these to it. We're just adding these into the barrel to round out and finish the product. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be at a good price point.
Nice.
Real approachable. And it's a super high yield as well. So it'll be something that people can get multiple bottles of and really enjoy. And say like, hey, there's only been one barrel of this done before, and it was released at the distillery. This is the first public release of the product. We've also been working with a company called Hogback. And that actually came out of Whiskey Weekend. We got to taste some Hogback product at Whiskey Weekend. We're like, then this is their distillate. This is good. Reached out to them, had a bunch of samples sent to us, and we were able to sit down and comb through them and like, this is good. So nice. Hogback is coming. When we were at Whiskey Weekend, we took a group of Patreon members to Starlight. And oh boy, when you go to Starlight, buddy, they roll out the red carpet for you.
Nice.
And we luckily we rented a bus to take us because we got to taste through some barrels. And we have a straight bourbon, a double rye, and also a VDN finished product that is just phenomenal.
Excellent. I've been drinking.
My wife coming out here saying, "Well, you're not drinking because I got half left."
I mean, we've had.
Or you're not going to drink at all.
But tell her that we really enjoy it.
They love
the cocktail.
Yeah,
they love it.
Yeah, we love
it. Great.
Your drink, they love it.
She's gonna force us to buy some Crown. It's tasty. Mm-hmm. I did not expect to like anything with Crown, and I like it.
Was pleasantly surprised. Yeah. And luckily, I make the peaches and cherries, so I have a good.
I've got no skin in the game, and I liked it. So we'll.
But yeah, so we've got the three Starlights that'll be coming out.
Nice.
And you know, we've just continued. And the other thing that I know in the works is our Penelope blend.
Mm.
And
Penelope showed out.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you if you've not had any of Penelope's cast strength releases, you're missing out. That is something that's on. If you see that on the shelf, you really need to be grabbing a bottle of, because Penelope has a great relationship and contract with MGP. Mm. They're getting some really, really good barrels that they're blending and putting together and putting in a bottle.
And getting to hang out with some of the blenders, really good folks, really good people. Just
fun people, exactly. Really. And they love whiskey.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they love sharing really good whiskey and telling a story about it.
Yeah.
So James and I spent 2.5 weeks putting together this Oaken Thieves blend. They sent us 6 different products to choose from, and they're like, you do you guys. I mean, this is our third blend with them. And you know, we put together a killer blend. And like I said, when you blend, you want to make sure that you're putting the right product in the bottle that's going to shows up to your door. Because what can happen with blends, you'll mix something right now.
Yeah.
You got to like let it sit for, we mix them up in little, 200 mLs. Yeah. You let it sit. Like when you think you've hit the winning blend, then you let it sit in a bottle for like 2 or 3 days, shaking it up. And then you're coming back to it and tweaking it from there. I mean, there's a lot of 1 milliliter here more, 1 milliliter here less to get the blend right. And the blend we actually put together, their label wasn't approved for.
Hmm.
And so they actually had to go to the TTB, get a new label, the cola, all that. That's finally been approved.
The process.
Yeah, yeah. They had forgotten just how much fun that whole government regulation process was.
We love government here.
So that's coming out. That's going to be a banger right there.
Nice.
There's a lot of things, in the hopper where, that we're just still working on. I've got some meetings set up with some people. Actually, later this month, and they're doing some. Oh, well, we have the I mentioned the ASW Amberana finish. Have y'all heard of Amberana yet?
Mm-mm.
So the Starlight cigar blend that everybody loves and goes crazy for is finished in Amberana barrels. Amberana is a Brazilian liqueur product. And the barrels are ridiculously expensive, like stupid. But the great thing about them is you can reuse them, I think, up to 10 times.
Oh, wow.
And it still has flavor.
Nice.
So we're actually working, and before we knew Starlight finished in Amberana, that ASW had gotten a hold of some of these barrels. The ASW product, I would not call it cigar blend. It's more of like a Christmas cookie.
Nice.
When I had an opportunity to taste it, it was like very like snickerdoodly. So that's something that we're working on that we're hoping to be able to release later this year. That's just gonna be, I mean, again, one of those things that my go-to around the holidays is Midwinter Night's Dram. I hustle and do everything I can to get 2 bottles, because I open a bottle on Thanksgiving Day. That's how it's I treat hard myself to get. Very hard to get.
Yeah.
And Thanksgiving Day, because I cook Thanksgiving dinner for 14 people. That's what I drink on while I'm cooking Thanksgiving dinner.
Could you make it for 16 people?
Right.
By God, I can't.
I'm going to say 19. Can we make it 19? We're only 3 hours away, Bob.
I can make it. That's my jam. And I think, this is something that I'm going to add to the repertoire of that time of year that, I cannot wait. Those are just some great things that we've got in the works. And like I said, you might be listening thinking, Penelope, I think I've seen them.
Yeah.
Buy it.
Pick it up. It's their stuff is fantastic. Just what, again, really good folks that are developing some incredible whiskeys, which we really enjoy. So I hate to cut this so short, but we are
running out of daylight.
We have no daylight
here. Yeah, absolutely
not. I don't have quite the lighting that Bob has outside. So,
dude, I got a storm blowing in. Like, I've got lightning going on all around me. It's beautiful.
Oh, nice. So, Bob, this has been just a great night. Really enjoyed
hanging out with you.
This is probably going to drop before the episode, but y'all definitely want to come back and check out the episode of Bob where he hangs out with us for the entire episode.
Mm-hmm.
Goes over a great message from JB here. Really just had a wonderful time, a fellowship, a friendship of talking through some great bourbons.
Bob, it's been a blessing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hanging out with you this evening. Because like I said, I met you way back.
Yeah.
Whiskey Weekend Batch 2. You've been one of those, you're just an amazing guy, and we've been excited. Yeah. For weeks, we've been kind of pumping each other up about you being on the episode.
Yeah.
And to be here with you,
it's been great.
It's been amazing. So thank you for being on the show. No,
I'm so thankful y'all had me. This is,
you know,
I miss this so much. This is just so much fun. Like,
To have you on again for sure.
For the Three Beard podcast.
Three beards, the Bible, and a bottle. So, that's right. So thank you all for joining us for this podcast. Thank you, Bob, so much for sharing about Oak and Thieves and the passion you have for good whiskey. Yeah. And so until the next time, I'll go ahead and lead us out like we always do.
Yeah.
May the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all until we come back again. And Bob, you're going to be back again.
All right.
Thank you.
Cheers.